Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by our good friends from Hy-Vee and Toys and Ford. And again, don't forget to check out Swag Cave, resident branding company, the official swag provider for the Man Cave Podcast. That link is in the podcast description, so check it out over there. I'm Dan Casper, as always. If I sound a little stuffy or voice sounds a little bit different, I apologize. Dealing with a little bit of a cold right now. But we got to talk about the NFL draft. We got to recap the Packers draft here. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to take a look at all the picks made by the Packers. 11 total picks there in seven rounds. And just kind of break it down. And I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a solid draft for the Packers. I'm not into grading drafts. I think you got to wait and see how the players perform. But overall, I thought it was a solid draft. The majority of Packers fans have given a thumbs up on this draft or feel pretty good, especially after day two. I got that feeling, especially after day two. Had a lot of people say, man, that day two, Goody just crushed it. Packers crushed it and such. And I know when it gets to day three and you're at rounds four through seven, maybe there's some guys you never really heard about, don't know a whole lot about, unless they, you know, play on your favorite college football team or such. But before I let's just kind of run quickly here. I don't want to deep dive into every player and such, but let's kind of look at each of these guys. So we know Jordan Morgan. We talked about that the other day. Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman, offensive tackle from Arizona. You listen to Goody's comments, and Matt LaFleur talked a little bit on Saturday too after the draft. You almost get the impression that they're going to give Jordan Morgan a chance to be the left tackle. To be the left tackle. I know there's talk about his arm length and that, but you hear about his footwork. It's left tackle-like footwork and other spots on there. So it seems like they are going to give him a shot to be the left tackle. Now, would that mean Walker goes to right tackle, Dillard to right tackle, Zach Tom staying at right tackle? I'm not sure. But it at least seems like there's that possibility that Morgan could be, maybe not in year one, too. Maybe it might be something that'll be a little bit down the road. But they're going to give a shot, it seems like, for Morgan to be that starting left tackle. Just kind of going in order here. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, he was in a lot of Packer fans' mock drafts. If you were doing, you know, mock drafts, even some had him going in the back end of the first round here. And I know when pick 41 was coming up and Cooper DeJean was still there, the other Cooper that a lot of Packer fans wanted. But as soon as I saw Philly trade up to number 40, right in that spot in front of Green Bay, I'm like, oh, that's for Cooper. That's for Cooper. And lo and behold, it was. Packers traded back. Now, for what it's worth, according to Goody, they had that trade worked out from 41 to 45 before Philly traded up. I do think Philly thought Green Bay was going to take Cooper DeJean, and that's why they traded up right in front of them. Now, I don't know if Goody is being 100% truthful where he said, you know, we had that deal worked out before the Eagles moved up to get Cooper DeJean. Don't know. But nonetheless, the Packers moved back a couple spots, collected up some later on picks that they also used to move around and such. But they got their linebacker to pair up with Quay Walker. I'm really curious excited to see Cooper and Walker on the field together. You got some speed now. You got a guy that hits and kind of go over some general recaps of this whole class in here. But you got perhaps, for a lot of people, depending on which website or which draft or which football analysis place you're looking at, you got the best linebacker, off-ball linebacker in this draft, a guy who's got some speed and he's not afraid to hit. pairing him up with Quay Walker, I'm pretty excited to see that duo over there. And then with the second pick in the second round, Packers get their safety. Javon Bullard from Georgia. Packers grabbing another Georgia player. You know, for a while now, it was kind of like the Eagles, and even Daniel Jeremiah said it on the telecast on NFL Network. You know, it was like Georgia defensive players going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Last couple years now, it seems like it's been Green Bay. I think it was Goody that said it after day two when he was talking to the media. He's like, pretty cool when we get to talk to those Georgia guys and say, hey, you get to keep that G on your helmet. But you look back at it, it's been Eric Stokes, it's been Devontae Wyatt, it's been Quay Walker, and now you got another one with Javon Bullard. He's got a guy, or he's got experience, even playing a little slot, some coverage ability, and again, he's a hard-hitting dude. You look at it, it's like 5'10", 198, it's like, okay, not the biggest safety in the world. He'll go up there and hit, though. Then, round three, to open up round three, the first pick in round three, Packers go and get their running back. For some people out there, again, Daniel Jeremiah was a telecast I was watching on NFL Network. That was his number one rated running back in the entire draft. Cowboys were right in front of him. Cowboys need a running back. They just signed Ezekiel Elliott to bring him back this morning. But a lot of people thought, okay, Cowboys think they're going to draft one of the top running backs up there, bypassing on Lloyd and the Packers, bringing him in. 5'9", but 220 pounds. He's got some burst to him. He ran a 40-yard dash in 4.46. How about this? Here's a nugget that Packers fans should get excited about. He averaged 7.1 yards per carry and forced 47 missed tackles on 115 carries last season. He is a threat in the passing game. He's got home run play potential. I think he's going to be a very nice complement to Josh Jacobs over there. And then the Packers ended day two with their final pick in round three with getting another linebacker, Tyron Hopper. Now, for a lot of people out there, a lot of the draft experts, maybe this was a little bit higher, maybe a little bit of a higher pick than what a lot of people expected him to be. But this is another linebacker who's got some decent coverage ability. He's got some speed to him. And he kind of plays with his hair on fire. He can be over-aggressive at times, but again, he likes to hit. And I'm going to get back to the linebackers here in just a little bit. But that was your final pick in round three. And I'll be honest, when that one was selected, I'd be like, oh, okay. Kind of had to do a little bit on him. Look back and be like, okay. Yeah, a lot of people had him maybe as a fifth-round pick there. But again, that's the media, right? That's us making these mock drafts. So then the Packers open up day three. Fourth round, moving up. Getting another safety, Evan Williams from Oregon. And again, this is a 5'11 safety, but he's a safety, too, that is actually maybe a little bit better, closer to the line of scrimmage, in the box there. A little bit better in run support. But he also has experience playing the slot. Again, another safety that is kind of versatile in that. Going to hit that back up here in just a second, too. He also has plenty of special teams play. And honestly, I looked at this pick and the Hopper pick as for immediate impacts for those guys. Maybe it comes on special teams. And I'll be curious to hear, truthfully, from a lot of teams, with the new kickoff rules in the NFL, did that come into play with some of these picks? Because now we're going to get more kickoffs. We're going to get more returns. Right? You got guys that aren't going to get a head start on those kickoffs. So what do? Maybe you get guys who like to hit, but they also get some speed to them. And that's what really stands out with these two guys. Did Green Bay kind of do that? And it's not a knock on either one of these guys, because I think they're going to get some snaps in on the defensive side here too. But did that come into the mindset, to the thinking of like, hey, we can use these guys in this area too, and we can really maybe be aggressive on our special teams. Then in the fifth round, the Packers go back to their offensive line. Jacob Monk from Duke. This is a guy. This is a typical Packers offensive lineman. He has started a ton of games, 58 games, and he started at right guard, center, and right tackle. That just checks all the boxes in the world for a Packers offensive lineman. And you hear some of the Packers scouts talk about him. They're very high on him. They like him a lot. And we know Green Bay has had some darn good success at drafting offensive linemen rounds four and up. They are the perfect example of a team that feels like sometimes, you know, when you hear coaches say it doesn't matter what round you're in once you get on the practice field, and sometimes you're like, yeah, okay. Because let's be real, the first round picks or the higher picks are going to get their shots first, or they're going to be on the first teams or the second teams. But at least in Green Bay's sense, they do give these guys day three picks a shot. And it seems like they're very high on Jacob Monk. Then their other fifth-round pick, Oladapo from Oregon State. I had him in my mock. He was a pre-draft visitor. This is a guy that is a more typical strong safety. This is your bigger safety, 6'2", 216 pounds. But here's the thing, too. He also used to play corner. He does play deep safety. He has experience in that. A little bit better in the box. And I think it was John Sullivan, one of the Packers scouts and front office people, when he was talking about the pick afterwards, mentioned the possibility of him playing some weak side linebacker. I'm going to get to that coming up a little bit later on here, too. But you got your bigger safety. So that's three safeties Packers now having this draft. Then they go into the sixth round, get another offensive lineman, Travis Glover from Georgia State. And again, guy who started games at multiple spots on the line. Started a record, school record of 57 games, 35 at left tackle, 18 at right tackle, 4 at left guard. Another guy that's got position versatility. Then, of course, the Packers in the seventh round. I think we all knew they were going to draft a quarterback, but which one? Michael Pratt here. So will he be instant competition for Sean Clifford for the backup? I don't think he's going to do that, but I mean, also another camp arm you throw in there, but maybe a practice squad quarterback over there. And then in the final pick, Kalen King from Penn State. Now here's the thing with Kalen King. If you saw what I posted on my Facebook page, to me he is an early front runner for my Lindsey Pipkins preseason player of the year, because after that pick was made, I saw some. I think it was Dwayne Bugler from The Athletic. Because after the draft's over with, you have all these diehard draft people putting out mocks for the next year, right? And he was a first-round pick last year at this time in way too early mocks. A first-round pick. I get it. It was a year ago. King is going to have to find out, get back to that level of play that he had a couple of years ago. And a credit to, I saw it somewhere on Twitter in the X here too, but when Belichick was talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. and Pat McAfee's show, Belichick mentioned that's a really good corner from Penn State. When he was talking about, I believe it was a Marvin Harrison Jr. clip, he was talking about Kalen King. So, you got a guy who's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. Is he going to be able to utilize that in the right way? So, I think that's a sneaky, sneaky potential pick that could work out. So, overall, when I see this draft, or when I look at this draft class, again, I don't want to grade it. I think putting grades, letter grades to a draft class is kind of pointless. But when we look at this, Goody really brought in some offensive line depth, safeties, and some linebackers. He kind of hit on a lot of areas that a lot of Packers fans were looking at. Offensive line, to me, that is going to be a lot of fun to watch in training camp and preseason. because there's going to be some battles. We know two spots are locked up. Elgton Jenkins is going to be locked up at left guard. Zach Tom is going to get a spot. The question now is that going to be center? Is that going to be right tackle where he was last year? Will they slide him into guard? We know Zach Tom's going to be a starter. We just don't know where. Jordan Morgan will probably be a starter somewhere too. But the lineman that they drafted in that fifth round, like a Monk, I think is going to have a shot. Maybe he's in a little early battle with Sean Ryan for a guard spot. Could he maybe win the center spot? You're going to see some position battles, competition. You heard Goody talk about, you know, getting guys in and building competition within the team. These offensive linemen is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really going to be paying attention to them when, you know, if I'm going over to practice or just, you know, listening to the reports and such. What does the offensive line play look like? Who's got the advantage over the other? Because there's going to be battles all across the board. Safety, too, is going to be really interesting to watch. And, you know, Jeff Hafley, new defensive coordinator, comes in. He's got a defensive back coach background. We know that. That's what he's bringing to the table here. And what Green Bay did by drafting these safeties is they gave Jeff Hafley some versatility with their safeties. Now, I know Packers fans are disappointed in not getting Cooper DeJean. But I honestly feel like that Bullard, the safety they got in the second round, is a similar type of player. A guy that you can play in a slot. He's got that experience. Playing a little free safety. He's a versatile defensive back. He's going to probably be the starting safety opposite of Xavier McKinney. But I feel like with these safeties, they all bring a little bit something different to the table. They bring a lot of versatility. You know, Williams coming in, he's kind of like a box safety. He's closer to the line of scrimmage, helps out in the running game, but he's got that experience playing a slot corner too. Talked about Oladapo, the bigger safety. I mean, I could see a lot of scenarios, or I shouldn't say a lot, but I could see some scenarios, defensive packages where 4-2-5, you know, nickel, but maybe there's three safeties on the field. And I think with those safeties that have experience in coverage, and I'll even throw Anthony Johnson Jr. into this, the rookie safety from last year who was a seventh rounder, he's a converted corner to safety. So he's got coverage background experience. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some safeties coming in. You might see three safeties on the field at different points in this season. And I think that with the experience that these safeties bring in coverage, I think also kind of factored into maybe why Green Bay didn't go get a corner early. That's why I didn't necessarily buy the first or second round corner talk around Green Bay, because we kept hearing they were happy with their five that they had in there. Matt LaFleur said the other day that Eric Stokes is fully cleared, along with Christian Watson. You got Jaira in there, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, they're high on. So now when you bring in these safeties that have coverage experience, I think that factors into it. That why they maybe didn't address a corner earlier on in a draft. So safeties galore. But I think a lot of these safeties, I don't know if I would call them just safeties. I'd call them defensive backs, because I think they can do a little bit of different things. The linebackers, Cooper and Walker, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I think those two are going to be a lot of fun to watch. You got a lot of speed and you got a lot of athleticism at that position. You look at some of those best defensive teams and you look at their linebacking core. You know, you look at maybe the 49ers with Warner and Greenlaw, but there's always like those fast sideline to sideline type of linebackers that aren't afraid to hit a hole and they aren't afraid to hit. You look at, and I'll even add in the safeties that Goody drafted. They brought in defensive players that have speed that have versatility, that have athleticism, but they like to hit. They're known as big hitters. Even throw in Hopper, the other linebacker, the third round pick. Speed, and they want to hit. I think that was part of the plan for Goody to look at this, like, because you heard Jeff Hafley in his introductory press conference. Yeah, I know he talked a little bit more about it with the safeties and such, but I think when he talks about having guys play with their hair on fire, being aggressive, getting after the quarterback, I think that's more than just the safety position. I think that's the mindset he wants for this entire defense. And you look at the linebackers that they brought in, those are guys that can do that. You look at the safeties, those are guys that can do that too. This defense now, to me, has more speed and dudes who can hit and want to hit from that safety and linebacker position. And I think when you hear certain safeties maybe playing a little weak side linebacker on there too, like an Oladapo, I think you're going to see some of that creativity, some of that versatility being a part of that. On the running back pick with Marshawn Lloyd, I don't know initially how many snaps he's going to get in his rookie year. You're bringing in Josh Jacobs. You're assuming he's going to be more of a bell cow type of back. I still feel like we're going to see a little bit of a different role with A.J. Dillon this year. But Lynch, when you kind of watch him and you read some of the reports on him, initially he seems like a perfect third down back to maybe begin his career. He's got big playability. He's got some burst. He's got some speed. And he's a threat in the passing game. And lo and behold, he's a willing blocker and pass protection at the back end there too. So maybe he's a guy, you know, if Jacobs is going to be a little bit more of a bell cow or they're going to give him a lot of reps, I don't think you're going to see a lot of split carries. I could be completely wrong. But maybe Marshawn Lloyd coming in to begin his career, more of a typical third down back, but this guy is a big play threat. His vision is pretty solid. Got some sweet cuts if you look at some of his film. I like the pick. I maybe wanted a little bit more speed there, but I think Lloyd has deceptive speed, if that makes sense. Maybe he's a little bit faster than what we give him a little bit of credit for. And I mentioned a little bit earlier, too, I think, you know, Kalen King, he's a guy that I think is going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. I know Jaden Reed, who has experience playing against him in the Big Ten when he was picked. Jaden Reed went on Twitter and said, that ain't no seventh-round pick. He's my early watch guy for my Lindsey Pipkins honorary preseason watch player. If he comes in with the right mindset and maybe uses that chip on his shoulder, I think there's going to be an opportunity for him there. But with no corner early, like some thought, again, I think with the safeties that were drafted, with their experience playing nickel and playing in coverage, and I'll even throw in Anthony Johnson Jr. into that because he's a converted corner to safety, I think the Packers are going to get a little creative. So overall, was there like sexy picks from the Packers? Probably not. Probably not, you know, big name players or like a lot of like, oh yeah, those guys I heard a lot about. Because let's be real, a lot of us, you don't know about these guys until you hear from it from media or mock drafts. But I thought the Packers hit a lot of holes. It feels like a draft. We talked about it leading into the draft. Like, okay, hopefully Goody and Jeff Hafley are on the same page, that Goody drafts players that will fit Hafley's style of defense, that they're on the same page and they're not trying to fit square pegs into round holes. It seems like he did that. And he got more depth at that offensive line, versatility with the offensive line. He checked off. Goody and the front office and the scouting department checked off a lot of boxes. In my opinion, there wasn't a defensive tackle or edge rusher, which I know some people are kind of like, oh, would have liked that. LaFleur, though, kind of hinted that Enoch Barre might be back sooner than we all thought. We were told, he even said it, Enoch Barre said it after the playoff game against Dallas that he tore his ACL. LaFleur said he didn't. He did suffer an ACL injury, but it wasn't a tear. And Goody kind of, you know, said the same thing. So you factor in, okay, that's a guy that's at the edge. You got Rashawn Gary at the edge. You got Preston Smith. You got Lucas Van Ness at the edge. Kenny Clark, Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Slayton. They got guys there. They got guys there for this year. My favorite pick from this Packers draft. Been thinking about it for a little bit. Ever since the draft finished up here. And it's hard. It was hard for me to just come up with one. And that's a good thing to say that. But I might have to just go with Bullard, the second rounder, Javon Bullard. He's a guy that's got some speed. He's a safety. He's a versatile safety that can help you out in coverage. He's a hard hitting defensive back. And I look at him and I look at his tape and such, and I'm just like, I like that pick a lot. And I think for a lot of Packers fans who wanted Cooper DeJean, he brings a lot of those elements with him too. Maybe not as good as a cover guy as Cooper is, because I know there's some teams that kind of view him a little bit maybe more as a corner. I feel like he's a player you don't want to pigeonhole into just one spot. But I think the versatility that Javon Bullard brings and his physicality and his athleticism and his speed, I'm excited to see this entire safety group under Jeff Hafley. I know, you know, maybe we're putting a lot of eggs in one basket here with a new defensive coordinator. But considering his background as a defensive backs coach, him coming over and seeing these guys coming in, and then you add in Xavier McKinney, I think you're going to have an incredibly athletic bunch at that safety group, versatile safety group that can help you out in different ways, whether it's in run support, playing in the box more, playing in the back end, a little bit more of a center field type of role, maybe even helping out in coverage. I'm excited about these young safety guys, and I think having Xavier McKinney kind of be that leader in that group, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Probably, and let's be real, there's probably going to be some growing pains with the youngsters coming in. There's no doubt about it. But I think when you see what these guys bring to the table, I'm pretty excited about it. And I look at Bullard as a guy that, again, I think you can line him up and ask him to do a bunch of different things within this defense. So, if I had to pick a favorite, it's probably him. I know it's not like a fifth or a sixth rounder, but I gotta tell you, I like a lot of these because I think it was just a typical Packers draft to kind of wrap it up. I felt like it was a typical Packers draft that it was, all right, guys that fit a lot of the areas that needed some more depth. You're bringing in some intriguing options. And if I had to sum it up in one way, including all the defensive and offensive players, few words that come to mind is versatility, speed, physicality. Those are probably my top three words I would use to describe this Packers draft class. Whether they're the offensive linemen, whether they're the running back or the safeties or whatever, or the linebackers. That's probably what I would use. And versatility is probably number one. All right, hey, that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Man Cave Podcast. Again, brought to you by our good friends from Hy-Vee and Toys and Ford. And again, a shout-out to our dudes at Resonance Branding Company. Don't forget to check out the Swag Cave. The link is in the podcast description just at the bottom there. Until next time, hopefully the voice is a little bit better. Hopefully the cold has cleared up here. But appreciate you tuning in. And until next time, I'm Dan Casper, and we'll talk to you on the next episode of the Man Cave Podcast.